All right, in the third reading, Yaakov leaves the spot where he wrestled with the angel. And we talk about the Gid Hanasha. And then Yaakov and Esav have their fateful encounter. Chapter 33 begins with the words, Vayisa Yankev Enov. Jacob raises his eyes. Vayar and he sees Vihini Esav. He sees Esav. Esav, his boy, is coming. Ve'imaya with him. Arba me'es ish. 400 men. Armed to the teeth. These are ISIS monsters. Ve'yachatz asayiladim. He divides the children. Aleah. Arochel. Ashtei ashfachas. He divides his family. And then after he does that, ve'yosim asashfachas. Ve'yaladei rishayin. He sets up his family. He has the maidservants and their children. Leah ve'yaladeho acharinim. Behind them is Leah and her children. And then there's Rachel, there's Yosef, Acharein, and they're right away, all the way in the back. Rashi tells us, Acharein, Acharein, Chaviv. There was a reason he did this. He cherished Rachel and Yosef most. But at that point, Yaakov Avinu moves forward. Verse 3, Vahu Ovar Lifnehem. Yaakov goes before them. Vayishtachu Arza Sheva Pamim. And he bows low 7 times. Ad gishtoi, ad achiv, until he reaches his brother. Rashi tells us, Ovar lifnehem. Why do we emphasize that Yaakov goes before them? Why don't we emphasize that Yaakov goes and encounters Esav? So Rashi says, Omar, Yaakov said to himself, Im yave esir asher lehilochem, if there's going to be some kind of battle, if he's going to lock horns, so then let it be yilochem bitchila. First, he'll have to take me down. I am not a timid Jew with trembling knees, says Yaakov. If he wants to fight, he'll fight with me first. I'm the first target. I am the first line of defense. So what happens? Well, Esav sees his brother bowing and showing him all this deference. And he's moved. He's stirred. An incredible thing takes place. Here we are, people, armed to the teeth, coming with baleful intent. There's no doubts. They didn't even come take any prisoners. Yaakov is ready to lock horns. He's ready to battle. And Esav runs towards him. Now, Yaratz Esav. You know, if this was a movie, now they put in the dramatic music. Yeah. Esav is running. What's Esav going to do? A shocking scene unfolds. Shocking to his people. Shocking to Yaakov and Yaakov's family. V'chabkeu. He hugs him. He grabs him. He hugs him. Vayipol al tzavarov. He falls on his neck. Vayishakeyu. And he kisses him. Vayivku. And he cries. Wow. This is like an amazingly dramatic moment. He didn't come and kill him. Instead, he ran towards him. And he gave this unique and remarkable display of affection. Why does he run? Vayoratz Esav. So Rashi doesn't seem bothered by this running. I guess... You could see this is a very intense moment, so running was... You weren't going to walk slowly towards this. As the Rebbe once said, nobody walks for an election. They run for it. But the Sefarno asked the question, so why did he run for? So the Sefarno says you should know the running already was not aggressive. He already ran with a sense of reconciliation. When he saw Yaakov prostrating himself, and Rashi says something similar later on also, he saw all this humility, and Yaakov showing him so much deference, showing him so much honor, and he was stirred, he felt bad for him actually. And all of a sudden, this brotherly love took hold of him, and his heart was humbled, and therefore he ran towards him affectionately. The Sefarno does say that, but I have to tell you that our sages take a very dim view of this kiss. They're not that impressed with it. For example, the Targum Yenusim ben Uzziel says his heart didn't change. He's the same Esav. He came with baleful intent, and that's he's still the same person. So what do you mean? It doesn't say that. So the Targum Yenusim says he wanted to bite him. He ran violently, went to attack him. He's a monster, this guy. He would bite his victim. He would bite him in the neck.
His neck turned into...
And Yaakov's neck turns into marble. There's two people in history, their neck turns into marble. Yaakov and Esav tries to bite his neck off, bite off his jugular. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when the executioner's sword comes down on his neck, The neck turns to marble and bounces back. The sword bounces back on the executioner. So the Targum Yenisa says he wanted to bite him, and he bit him with great force, but the guy's neck all of a sudden turned hard like a rock. So Esav's teeth fell out, and that's why he was crying. He needed a good dentist. He had pain in his teeth. Anybody who ever suffered with teeth knows how painful teeth could be. The little things in your mouth, but when they're not working, and you're in pain, oy vey, it's not good. The Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer goes even further. He says, don't read the words, Vayishakehu. It says Vayishakehu. That's what it looked like to everybody on the surface. Take the kuf and turn it into a chaf. And really it should say, Vayishakehu. And he bit him. He tried very hard to bite him. Lo halach lo. He couldn't work for him. And that's why the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer says, that's why there's little dots on the word Vayishakehu, because dots on a word are a sign that we should de-emphasize. In a long conversation that I once was privileged to have with the lead scholar of the Dead Sea Scrolls, so he told me something very interesting. He said, this business of putting dots on top of a word, Lawrence Schiffman said, is not unique to the Torah. He said, in all apocryphal writings is the same thing. When people would edit the document in antiquity, if they wanted to de-emphasize a word, they would put dots on it. That was the methodology. It would be the equivalent, I suppose, today of parentheses. So you put, there was no room to draw parentheses. Today, no, not a highlighter. A highlighter means to emphasize, to de-emphasize. So the dots would de-emphasize. In other words, don't take this word too seriously. So the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer says, don't take the kiss too seriously. In fact, it was a bite. We have an issue here, and the issue is that ultimately, it says Vayishakehu. You could read whatever you want, midrashically, but on a literal level, it says he kissed him. How do we reconcile that? How do we understand that? So Rabbeinu Bechaya simply says, it was not a wholehearted kiss. He kissed him, but I don't get too impressed with it. It was a formality kiss. In the moment, he says, I don't know what else to do. Two brothers are meeting after 21 years. Okay, so he kissed him. But it's not something that you should read into. Let's take a look and see what Rashi says. Vayichabekehu. Rashi says, why was he hugging him? Forget the kiss. Rashi's bothered by the hug. Says Rashi, Nizgalgalu rachamav, Esav's mercy, his compassion was stirred. Kisharohu mishtachave, kol leshtachavoy salolu. When he saw Yankev Avinu bowing low, successively, seven times, he felt bad. It's my brother, my twin brother. He's bowing before me, like a servant. Something stirred inside of him. And as such, he hugged him. Okay, fine, he hugged him. But kissed him. What's with the kiss? Isn't that a little over the top? So Rashi says, in the Chumash, meaning in the Sefer Torah, Nakudolov, the word Vayishakehu, is written with little dots on top. So what does this mean? The emphasis. Rashi says, V'yesh chelke medavra zeh. There is a dispute about this that's recorded in the Braise of the Sifri, which actually is found in Parshas Baal Eischa. Because Mechilta is the Medrash Halak of the first Sefer of the Torah and the second Sefer. The Sifri is found on Chumash Bereishis, on Chumash Bamidbar, on Chumash Dvarim. So in Parshas Baal Eischa, in the Sifri, it says like this, Yesh Dershin, Nekuda zu, there are those who expound these dots. Loimar to say, Shalei neshaka b'cholibe. He didn't kiss him wholeheartedly. He kissed him, but don't get too excited. The kiss of an anti-Semite, the kiss of an Islamo-fascist, of a Nazi. He's a murderer. He's a thug. He'd kill babies with impunity and then sing and dance about it. He's a monster. So in that case, why does it say he kissed him? What's the nekuda? So they said, the neshaka b'cholibay, the white supremacist didn't kiss you all heartedly. Whatever, he kissed you. It was a momentary thing. It wasn't that impressive. It was only superficial. And this is the way the Beinu Bechaya takes it. This would follow the opinion of maybe a little bit of a dialed down opinion on the Targum Yenisa and the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer. We don't have to say in Pshutos Shel Mikra, we don't see the word Veishacheyu. It doesn't say that anywhere that he actually kissed him. It just doesn't come up in the words. It's totally midrashic. But still, the kiss, don't get too excited about it. Ashi says Veichabkeyu, the hug. Yeah, the hug was a hug. But the kiss, it's a Nishkin kiss, as they say. A kiss, not such a kiss. However, Rashi says there's a dispute about this. The Sifri records another opinion. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, no. It says he kissed him, and he kissed him. It is what it is. What it says is so. Halacha hi biyadua. You should know that there's a rule. A halacha. And halachas are immutable. Esav seine liyankiv. Esav hates Jacob. Hates him. That's the way it is. Antisemitism is a matter of fact. So in that case, why did he kiss him? Ella, the thing is this. Nichmeru Rachamav, as we already said earlier, his mercies, his compassion was stirred by Yisrael at that moment. So much so that he was motivated not only to hug him, but he suddenly became overwhelmed with emotion at that moment. And he kissed him wholeheartedly. Now, very interestingly, Rashi does not talk about the weeping or the crying. Doesn't talk about it. That's not so hard to understand. That this was an emotional moment. Everybody understands that this is going to be an emotional moment. If Esau was planning to kill Yaakov and decided not to kill him, he's going to be emotional about it. It was very intense. That's not the question. Is not about the intensity. And tears come out of intensity. When there's a very intense emotion, which is too much for a person to suffer, it pushes, so to speak, for release. And that release comes in the form of tears. The question, though, is why did he kiss him? Why did he display affection? People cry for many reasons. But the Mefarshim do talk about this crying. So the Targum Yenison, as well as the Targum Yerushalmi, both say very clearly, Esav was crying because he broke his teeth. That's it, straight up. As we said, try to bite him, neck turned to marble, he was in pain, he was crying, don't get excited. Others maintain it's not necessarily exactly so. I mean, how do you explain it according to Rashi? Or Rabbeinu Bachai, who says that he did kiss him. Question is, if he kissed him wholeheartedly or not wholeheartedly. Can't get away. The literal meaning, it says he kissed him. So if he kissed him, why was he crying? If it was a wholehearted kiss, nope, makes sense. It was wholehearted. But if it was only a formality, he didn't really mean it, so why did he cry too? Tears, after all, are real. So what was he crying for? What's the bechia? So the the Chaim suggests that Esav initially advanced against Yaakov with tremendous hatred, tremendous anger. And then he just kind of lost his steam. He was planning to kill him. He began his move towards Yaakov with the intent to kill. And by the time he got there, somehow that hate dissipated. So he cried. He was bewildered himself. He didn't understand what he was doing. He was overwhelmed with these conflicting emotions here. He hates him. It's his brother. So he cried. Which this is probably the approach of Rashi. So then why did Yaakov cry? Was Yaakov didn't know this. He didn't know that Esav began his move towards him with the intent to kill. And he's bowing to him. What was Yaakov crying for? So the Chaim says, Yaakov Yodas Emes. He knew the truth. He knew the truth. He knew this kiss isn't wholehearted, or if it is wholehearted, it's a temporary thing. He knew there was no great achva, there was no real brotherhood over here. They were not going to become best friends. They were never going to be united again as a family. So what did he cry for? Yaakov was the midah of emet. Yaakov was truth. And to be in a situation where he had to play the charade, we had to make believe we're brothers and we're getting together and we have this emotion and we're hugging and we're kissing. It bothered Yaakov. It irked him to the point that he wept about it. It was so out of character for him. It was so outside the parameters, the orbit of comfort of what Yaakov. Yaakov is a straight person. Everything was ishtam, he's the emes. Yaakov midas emes. And Yaakov had to be the man of honesty. Is now playing a charade. And he's engaged in this whole love fest all of a sudden with Esav, who he knows wants to kill him, and Yaakov knows it's fake. He didn't appreciate having to be in that situation.
It could also be that his family was around him, and he saw that he kind of backed off here. Yaakov's family.
All kinds of things could be. I'm telling you what it says. No. This is what the Eruch Chaim says.
Any comment on the seven bows and how this?
There's a lot. Center. There's a lot on the seven bows.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about the bows today. Okay. The different day we're going to take a bow. Okay. We're talking about the kiss.
Okay, but
there's a lot about the bows.
It impacts on.
There's a lot about the bows. It impacts on Esav's reaction. That's as far as we learned it today. Yeah. The bows impact on Esav's reaction. But the truth is, there's another whole perspective on this. That Yaakov's bowing was inappropriate actually. And as a result of this display of weakness, he brought forth something negative in the future. It wasn't so good at Yaakov. In other words, you have to humble yourself before the anti-Semite, but not that humble. The bowing, the excessive bowing in the end was not necessarily a good thing. On a level of Pshut Lashon Mikra, it was effective. Like, if you have to avoid murder, you have to avoid a situation, if it takes a little humility to swallow your pride and eat a little humble bread, and that helps you that you don't have to be killed or you don't have to kill, it's probably worth it. So on a level of Pshut Lashon Mikra, we don't, but there is a Midrashi teaching behind it. So let's delve into this kiss a little bit. The truth is that Rashi, on some level, does not seem to make that much sense. And I'll tell you why. What compelled Rashi to bring two opinions? In Pshut Lashon Mikra, there's a kiss. It doesn't say V'yishokheyu. It says V'yishokheyu. Okay. But it says there's dots on top of it. So you can't. Okay. So Rashi should have just said, Nakod olav. Why Nakod? Shaloi neshake b'chol libay. That's all. Shaloi neshake b'chol libay. Yes, he kissed him. Don't get too excited. Don't get overwhelmed with the kiss from an anti-Semite. Instead, Rashi says, Nakod olav. And he says, V'yesh chelke medavar. There's a dispute about this. There are those who say he did kiss. And wholeheartedly. And if Shimon bar Yochai, he says, there's a halacha, the race of Eis Yankiv. However, nichmeru rachmav beis hashoah. That moment, his compassion was stirred. This whole story is a halacha biyudua. What's that relevant for? Why don't you just say, yesh, yesh shadarshu, shalai nishakir b'chol libe, v'yesh shadarshu nishakir b'chol libe. But really, you could ask a better question. Why bring this all together? There are many opinions on many things, and Rashi does not bring the different opinions down as a rule. So this is a big question. Why does Rashi spend so much time on the opinion of Reb Shimon bar Yochai and explain, like bringing in other subjects even, like halacha biyadua? What does that halacha have to do with this event? This is not overarching commentary on the relationship of Yaakov and Esav. This is not the time for a general overview. So the Rebbe says something amazing. The intention of Rashi in this seemingly unnecessary and lengthy explanation is letarich kusha sheniskash ba mefarshim. There's a big, big question that the mefarshim ask, and the question, which is found in the Maskil of David, Sefer Zikaron, and many others. Klalu, there's a rule. Kasha yeshnu nikud al ois, when there are dots over a word or a letter, an ois, a letter, or a mila b'teira. Hakavona b'kachu l'ma'it mashmo'usa. The intention here is to minimize its meaning. It is what it says, but not too much. Don't read into it. Don't take it at full face value. As they say in English, a few grains of salt. And as I told you, Lawrence Schiffman told me this is the case with all apocryphal writings. It's not only Chumash, it's not only Torah. All writings from antiquity. That was the methodology used. Elo, b'mila shavei v'yishakeyu. When it comes to the word v'yishakeyu, mizbayir hadavar heitev l'fideya harishin. This makes good sense according to the first opinion. It says v'yishakeyu, it says he kissed him. And in fact, it was not a wholehearted kiss. The dots make perfect sense. Nakod olav. Why is it dotted? Not an impressive kiss. Don't get too excited. But if the dots come to minimize that lein neshaker b'chol libay, then how would we understand the opinion of Reb Shimon bar Yochai? If he kissed him wholeheartedly, then why is the dots on the word? Should be no dots. In other words, the dots on the word they form a tremendous questionnaire. So according to Pirkei Der Belezer at a Midrashic level, the dots are telling us that the word is saying something else. There's a problem with that. The problem is usually when the Torah is read one way, written another way, it says that inside. When there's a Kri and a Ksiv. There is no Kri and Ksiv. So Pirkei Der Belezer is relying on a methodology called Al Tikri. Don't read it this way, read it that way. There has to be a reason for Al Tikri. In Pshuta Shel Mikra, if you wanted to say V'yishacheyu, it should say V'yishacheyu. So it says V'yishacheyu means he kissed. Dots on the word de-emphasize the kiss. But according to Shem Yechai, who says, B'chol libei, the word is literal, then why the dots? Leave the dots off. And this is a big question. Because we have these schools, two schools of thought, the dots make sense only according to one school of thought. It doesn't make sense according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Letaretz kushazu, to answer this very question, Rashi prefaces with the words halachahi. It's a halacha. Be yadua, it's known, she'esav seinu liyankiv. What's the relevance of that here? Okay, fine. So it's known that esav seinu liyankiv. When Rashi will write his composition on anti-Semitism, he'll start off his composition with an opening line, B'yidua she'esav seinu liyankiv. This is commentary in the Chumash. Of what relevance is there if Esav generally does or doesn't hate? Where the rule is, anti-Semitism will always be there. What does that have to do with this commentary? So the Rebbe suggests, Kavanasi shel Rashi, the intention of Rashi here, is l'kvoya, is to establish something. The rule is he hates him. That's the rule. The rule is, he's an anti-Semite, he hates Yaakov, he's going to hate the Jewish people. And halacha, we know, halachas are not for sale. Halachas are immutable. If it's a halacha, it's a halacha, it doesn't change. Halacha is what we call mukhletis. Halacha is the realm of the absolute. It's absolute, it's halacha. Ein ba makim l'shinui. Doesn't change. U'mi'acha she'en makim l'shinuyim. If there's no room for change, because Esav's an Eliyankiv, so then what happened here? If Esav hates Yaakov, what happened on this day? How come on this morning he's kissing him? That's not a sign of hate. That's a sign of affection. So why is there a sign of affection if he always hates him? The only answer must be something unusual happened. The halacha is, as a rule, he hates him. If he always hates him, why is he suddenly kissing him? The answer has to be that at that moment, at that moment, suddenly, his mercy was stirred. And therefore, Neshaka B'chalibe, if his mercy was stirred at that moment, why wouldn't he have kissed him wholeheartedly? If there's no mercy, there's no mercy, fine. But if he's feeling merciful, if he's feeling an emotion, so then the kiss would be a natural thing. It would be a real expression of a profound emotion. Nishar Esav B'mohusei Seina Liyankiv. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, it doesn't mean he is a lover, he's a hater. He was a hater, he is a hater, he will be a hater. It's a halacha. Halachas don't change. Esav did not change. There was no intrinsic change here. So if there was no intrinsic change here, why did he kiss him? This fact that he kissed him was not because he changed, but because there was a momentary shift. He didn't change. He's still an anti-Semite. He still hates Yaakov. He could kill him tomorrow. Maybe he could kill him in a half hour. Right now, he's feeling brotherly. Right now, he's feeling love. In other words, it does not represent a paradigm shift. It represents a momentary lapse. A big difference. An evil person can sometimes have a moment of weakness and do a kind thing. It doesn't make him a kind person.
And what indicates is the two dots?
There was more of this, the dots in every letter here. The dots say, don't think Vayishakeo, according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, don't think the kiss means Esav changed. He didn't even become mitigated. Esav didn't even dial back, really. He had a moment, the moment, like momentary insanity. He had momentary love. It doesn't mean it changed. There's no change here. Because halacha, the momentary reality, doesn't change anything. There are stories of monsters, of Nazis, who suddenly did a kindness for somebody, yeah. Who saved a baby, who saved a person. Yeah. And they themselves said, I don't even know why I'm doing this. It doesn't mean they became kind. It doesn't mean that they're a good person. It doesn't mean they're deserving of compassion. It's something happened. Something happened. There was a brief glimpse of humanity. But he's still the same inhuman. So therefore, if it's only a timely thing, then at that point it means there's no real change. See, according to the other opinions, he didn't kiss him wholeheartedly, so he didn't change. He changed a little bit. He dialed back a little bit. He was a hater, he wanted to kill, so now he still hated him, but it wasn't as much. The hate was mitigated. So to mitigate hate actually could be a change. Whether you change the anti-Semite, I'm not sure. In fact, I'm sure you won't. But you can mitigate it. You can dial it back. He won't hate you as much. He'll be civil. And civility will at times necessitate a kiss. You'll get a kiss too. You'll be a fool to think that it represents love. Civility. Even a hater could be civil sometimes. So he's not an out-of-the-box hater. So all these anti-Semites who are coming out of from under the rocks now, what do you think, they weren't anti-Semites for the last 50 years? Of course they were. For whatever reason, they behaved civilly for 50 years. Now they're finished being civil. Now they're finished being nice. They never changed. That doesn't represent the real change. But the question is, this non-real change, how much of a non-real change was it? Was it something that for a while the anti-Semitism was mollified? Or was it something that was only for a moment? Just like almost like a lightning bolt, you know, like a brief shine, and then that's it. Umayata, move on. Now we understand. Gam das Rashbi, the opinion of Shimon Bar Yochai, who says ve'yishakeu, and it's menukedes. It's dotted. Ki amnam be'isir ega neshika hoisa b'chol libri. Yes, it was. It says ve'yishakeu, and it was ve'yishakeu. However, know that it does not represent a real change. Ultimately, the hate remains intact, unfortunately, and in place. And this is something we all have to know. On one hand, the anti-Semite might behave civil. Don't lower your guard. On the other hand, even if the anti-Semites have a moment of love, don't get too excited either, because it's a momentary thing. Either way, any which way you cut it, keep your guard up and know that the haters will remain haters. And as long as we remain vigilant, hopefully we can continue to successfully protect ourselves and our communities. And our prayer and our hope is that soon we'll come to a time where hate will disappear forever with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.